call to order. The October 6, 2014 special meeting will now come to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, please. Mrs. Steck.
Here.
All right, public participation under our new format here. We have public participation by anybody that would like to address the board on any topic, I believe. And please limit your comments to 3 minutes if you can. Does anybody sign up to speak this evening?
Jeff.
Terrific, Mr. Poop.
Being that we have fewer times to speak going forward, I want to make sure I got a couple of points in tonight's. I learned that the last time that District 41 had a legal services review was 11 years ago. In light of that and recent goings on at College of DuPage, where our attorney firm of Franzak Rattle, I believe it's called, where they represent that Wayward board, I feel that it's time to do a review. If it turns out that they are still the best value for our tax dollars, fine. But for such a time frame to go without a review makes one wonder. One other item is, as we inch towards winter, in reviewing bills from last winter for our snowplow vendor, I noticed that we're being charged not only standard charges, but on one invoice alone, we got charged $600 for travel charges. I've never heard of such a thing as a snowplow company charging me not only a ton of money to move snow, but they charged me $600 to come to my place. So, can we take a look into this, please, to make sure that these charges were part of what we've either negotiated, or if it's something that we shouldn't be charged for? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Anyone else?
Stephanie Clark.
Mrs. Clark.
Contact questions that I'm going to make that I believe are some important points when discussing facilities. Typically, I would say these often come at the end of the meeting. I only bring them up if you had a discussion, but I can no longer ask questions at the end of the afternoon, so I apologize in advance. First, holding kindergarten. As you enter into this decision, I want to just suggest that you're thinking about what data and details you need to make the decision. A year ago, Team 21 and CIT recommended holding kindergarten to the DOE as the best approach to mobility achievement after District 41. And after being presented with that info, the Board of Education said that holding kindergarten was the one that we needed. And now we're here a year later, and we're still talking about the achievement gap just last week. And I would hope that the board would ask for some additional information to help formulate a plan for District 41, including what are other districts in the area doing, what is the response to the rigor of the Common Core, what are other 21st century schools doing, and what type of curriculum will we be looking at if we get something to do. Next, special education. I know the plan and about bringing special ed students back to District 41, the ones that go to outside districts, which I think is a good idea in theory. But there are some more things that we need to make sure we're thinking about. You know, one board member has referred to special education students as the revenue source, which is not appropriate and makes some question the understanding of special education. I believe that if students are brought back to the district, it's important to have the facilities and appropriate staff to support them. It's great to be in your home district, but if there are not the right resources, it is the best possible environment and therefore is a service to these students. So bringing them back is more complicated than just from a cost perspective. Mm-hmm. And another thing to consider, I've heard we could have other districts pay to send their students here, pay to send their special ed students to District 41 as a way maybe to make profit, but it really wouldn't be making a profit. It would just be reimbursing our school district for the expenses to provide services to our students. So we'll make sure that's pretty clear. And you cannot displace all of the special education classrooms in one school if we go to the school. It takes away from the approach to inclusion and getting students into general education in the district. schools. One other thing I wanted to mention about special ed, it will be considered an early childhood center as part of our phase two. Districts 200, 203, and 204 have them, and it helps alleviate space concerns and creates a hub for collaboration among special services teachers and providers. And I don't know if you're aware, I brought you a copy, but Easter Seals of DuPage has started a new initiative called Make the First Five Count, talking about how the first 5 years are essential for a child's future development. And right now, only fewer than 20% of students under the age of 5 get screened and identified for services, and really about 34% they think could receive them. And so their intention is to ensure that all children in DuPage County are properly screened and receive support, so that when they enter kindergarten, they're on par with their peers, which helps eliminate issues in elementary school. So something to consider with facilities. And lastly, the question about a space issue. Maybe we need to, we could consider altering our facilities plan to eliminate the need to have to build a new elementary school. I just wonder if we're utilizing all of our current space properly. We've had a significant reduction in the number of students at Lincoln this year, which has freed up some space, and empty classrooms have been turned into office space. We're using portables up at Lincoln to help STEAM labs, and there's also STEAM lab that sits empty a lot of the time at Lincoln. Maybe those are spaces that can house more classrooms, such as full-day kindergarten. So maybe we should reconsider the plans for Churchill and Forest Glen and look at putting on two-story additions to those schools. That could eliminate all of the portables at Churchill, household and kindergarten, and the only thing that would be left to address would be the portable issue at Hadley, which could also be done with addition. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Discussion. Facilities planning phase two. Let's go.
All right. Let's go. I'm going to have to come up here. Claire. I apologize for workshop. Generally, the board comes and works in a session like this. So generally, we never have our backs to the public. So I do apologize about that. So, board, the priorities that the board set and were reaffirmed on May 5th were the elimination of the portables, the right sizing of schools. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And then this, start considering the full-day kindergarten. Those were the board priorities that were set on May 5th. Sorry. The outcomes that we're going to be looking for tonight is a decision regarding full-day kindergarten. What steps do you want administration to move forward with? What does that look like? And then a commitment to right-sizing all of our buildings within phase two. So those are pieces that I'm going to be looking for the board to comment back to me, give me direction for the administration to move forward. Phase one, it accomplished a lot. We eliminated 16 portables. We've improved green space at Churchill and Forest Glen, underground detention at Forest Glen, Lincoln, and Churchill. We added 16 new flexible classrooms, approximately 900 square feet each. Created new art and music space and restrooms at Churchill, and enhanced our outdoor learning spaces at the elementary schools. So it was a good first step, a step that needed to be taken. We've had portables here since 2001. That was our first portable, and then kept growing year after year until we ended up with 32 portables in our district, a district that has 5 schools and many community members and people outside of Glenland. Never realized that. They were shocked to hear that we have so many portables within our district.
Okay, Paul, just to be clear, those things are in process. They're not results at this point.
Well, the goals are already approved.
They're the goals of phase one. We don't have new music space yet at Churchill, right?
That's what I'm saying. I get what you're saying. Space limitations. So with that, there are still some space limitations. Still have 4 remaining portables at Churchill. Hadley has 10. No classroom space for full-day kindergarten across the board. Limited to no space for additional programming. If the board made a decision to look at other programs, really no flexibility within our current schools. The interior circulation, storage, flexibility of learning spaces are suffering. And certain classroom spaces are too small, and office spaces for some are substandard. Walk the buildings, continue to see our classrooms, the environments. Do we fit them all in? We do. But as I look at the band rooms, music rooms in schools, I'm really surprised to see how many kids are packed into these rooms. When I do walk into some of the offices, people are in really substandard areas. Custodians with wires, other material all around and within some of their spaces. It really is. It's not something I think Glen Allen should have. So full day kindergarten, we're getting right into this. For me, I support full day kindergarten. I believe in full day kindergarten. I think it is a game changer. There's a lot of research out there around full day kindergarten, what it does in its first year compared to half day kindergarten. Through the research, it is a game changer. It's a significant difference between in that first year, or in that kindergarten year, with between half day and full day. There's some research out there currently. What are those effects over 3, 8, 10 years? Those are pieces that that are up in the air. Some studies show that after the full day kindergarten year, by third grade, you do see some of those results diminish over time. But I want to hear more about those, and even the research studies ask that question. We want to know why. Why is that? What's going on there in some of those studies that are showing that? But other studies are showing that that's not true. There's a study up in Minnesota that looked at a number of full-day kindergarten programs, and those students maintained and grew each in every year. So there's different research out there on that. I gave that to the board this past weekend to look at. I fully support it. I believe in it. I believe getting kids earlier, often, is something that we should believe in and continue to close that achievement gap for kids who are behind, and continue to grow students who are already at the top of their trajectory. We want to continue to bring kids that ability to do whatever they want to do with their life. And I do believe it starts early. I think we can start it earlier in full-day kindergarten. From my perspective, I think we need to know where the board's at with full-day kindergarten, because it's a decision that really moves phase two. It's the piece, as we've looked across the board, how to lay out full-day kindergarten within each of our classes or each of our schools, and where are those numbers. You're just doubling the number of classrooms in each of our schools. So for me, I'd like just to see from a fist to five, each board member, where are you at currently? That's not saying that's what you're doing. Where are we at currently with a fist to five? Five being, I'm all in. One is, I've got serious concerns. I need to know more about this. Just so we can start that conversation and push into it in a pretty aggressive manner.
We had given you a list of questions that you read back to us, and most of those were my questions.
Yeah, so we shared all those.
Okay, a lot of those were about what's the ideal size of kindergarten was one of my last my last questions. Research, does it show that having more kids with a teacher and an aide, to me that stuff's important to know how you will ultimately configure these classrooms and how many you need. So
I think so. And what we've looked at is for kindergarten, and it's very similar to our current configuration in that 20 to 21 range.
Teacher, 20 to 21.
Yeah, that's what we've seen. That's what Karen has supported for a number of years within that. With the younger kids, we believe it's better to have those low class sizes.
Yeah, I wasn't suggesting having bigger class sizes with the teacher.
Oh, with the aide on?
With the aide on top, you actually end up with less, and the aide coupled with the teacher gives you a ratio below that, more like 15, 14 to 1, which I believe studies have shown with that interaction, adult to child, keep it even a better band for your flock, but you're doing it with an aide that gives
as
you
opposed to,
as opposed to a teacher, which
brings down the cost,
which we have an operating issue with the kindergarten, which Sam always used to bring up when we had this discussion.
Absolutely.
So, and I think
I think that's an important piece, but I think it's still the crux of the issue is do you support full day kindergarten? And we bring those next layers to the table once you let us know exactly where you're at.
I see this on multifold. Many levels, everything intertwined, because
I
support full day kindergarten, I support, you know, let's get them earlier than that and doing preschools and all that, but at some level you have a budget that Bob has to live within, and you know, that's why these other questions were asked. We're going to go over them later in the discussion.
So what are the operational costs that we need?
The operational costs, we're looking at 9 additional classrooms, so 9 additional teachers, because for those, with that, our teacher's average salary is $75,000. You add on benefits on top of that, we're close to $900,000 in costs for that. For our aides, we're roughly around $30,000 to $35,000.
Well, you're saying
for the aides, if we go down your route,
well,
so you still
route.
Well, I know what you mean.
I was just looking at different options so we understood them, because I see one of the biggest hurdles here
is cost.
Is that operating budget, which I think Sam brought up when he was here. It's $900,000, which is the number you just said. So if you can pare that down quite a bit, obviously you have a much more achievable goal from an operating budget standpoint, without going to a referendum for that, because Sam had always talked about that being part of a referendum.
Well, I think we're looking at two things that might help us to keep them separate. One is, in theory, do we support the full-day kindergarten or not? If we say no, we don't need to go to
there's not a lot of...
I agree.
If we say yes, in theory, we support it, then we have to deal with the hard question of how are we going to find the space for it.
Well, it's more than space, but yes.
It's
space and resources.
I would agree.
For my, I'm not entirely decided on it. I'm interested to hear what the other board members think. I think there are some serious concerns with committing to full-day kindergarten at this point. And I think we might want to look at some kind of a blended model where full-day kindergarten is available to part of the student population, where we know that they need intervention, or where we've got families who really, really want full day, and perhaps they pay more for it. But I don't know that we really, I'm not convinced right now that we should make it happen for every student at any cost.
But perfect. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Where are we at? So, because one of my pieces is I think we have to also be engaging our parent community and others to say, where are they at with this piece, and what does that look like? But if the board is saying there is no go with full day kindergarten, that wipes some pieces off of our work schedule.
So, let me go.
Catherine, that's why I'm asking that question. I know, that's why I'm being so blunt with this.
When you said there are serious concerns about it, what are your serious concerns?
Well, my concerns are...
I'm trying to understand her.
But she wants to... Go ahead.
You know, I read the research of HomeSense, and anecdotally, I've heard both sides of it.
Yeah.
Some people are saying, got to have it. It's the game changer to keep our achievement up and even increase it. I've heard other people say, you know, like you said, well, we don't know for sure by third grade, in some measures it evens out.
So it's around the research, that's your
concern.
How do you know if it was...
I don't think this is black and white, get kindergarten and everything else falls into place, so let's get kindergarten.
Okay. That's helpful, thank you.
I support it. This district has already made a commitment to early childhood when we lost all of our state dollars 3 years ago now, was it? 3 or 4? And the board took action to retain our early childhood pre-K program to the cost of the district 100%. And so the district has already proven its commitment to early childhood education. So that's the first thing that I operate from. I support full-day kindergarten or all-day kindergarten. And in part because we have sister districts, I would call them, that have moved in that direction. I went in and downloaded stuff from 200 in Naperville and, you know, looked at their dollar figures. And The cost of kindergarten for all-day kindergarten is anywhere between right now $2,500 and $4,000 per child, depending on the district and depending on how much they subsidize it. So the dollar conversation, the operations piece, is separate, is another conversation to have, because that will help to drive whether or not we feel like the district can afford that. And of course, and I don't want to go there, but the umbrella to all of this is a conversation we've been having as a board since springtime, and we just had, you know, in earnest at the last meeting around whether or not education funding reform is going to pass and in what shape or form. So there's that piece as well in terms of dollars that the district will lose. But that said, I think it's an important direction, and there was two pieces of research to pick up on John's question, and what was I thought important to me is was this. Full-day kindergarten should not be evaluated using even a single domain such as cognitive growth. Kindergarten clearly benefits children's development in many domains. An important element in determining long-range future academic success for students is the quality of the programs in which they are enrolled, not solely length of the program, but what's happening in the program, right? But we do know, because we had visitors from downstate last fall.
Yes.
Last fall, Paxton, and I spent a significant amount of time talking to two of their board members and one of the principals about them making the shift in Paxton to go with full-day kindergarten, and that they saw, of course, it takes a while for your numbers to come in. It's not a year. It's a second year, and then it's really that third year in any iteration that shows you. But they clearly felt like it made a difference for the children socially and emotionally, and they saw the bump in their numbers. The second grade teacher who was here on the visit said, I saw the difference between the cohort from 2 years earlier in kindergarten to that first grade class and then my second grade class, and so I saw the growth. So I think that it's a broader discussion, including the academic piece, but it's not... But the other research that you shared with us said, you know, after third grade, there isn't necessarily that gain. But there is great gain for children who are in lower socioeconomic situations. And so that's, I think, important.
And I'd still want to look at that. I would still want to look at that. Why in kindergarten do we have such a huge gain? And why in first, second grade do we start to see that from some of the research studies? And even those research studies ask that same question. We've got to examine this more. What's happening? Is the rigor... There's just tons of hypotheses.
Right. Or do kids is the rigor going down? To develop? I mean, we talk about this all the time. I mean, just developmentally, kids catch up. Your child is a, you know, is Mensa in first grade, and then by fifth grade, you know, they've all kind of caught up with each other. There's a developmental piece to it
there
as
is.
Well. But the question that I have that I'll put on the table we can talk about is, how does our mobility impact student growth, too? Because we know that, by the numbers, when we get children in here and they start with us as close to kindergarten or first grade as possible, and we keep them through fifth, they show tremendous growth because they're here with us. When a child comes in at third grade, it's a harder slog for them on some level up through fifth grade. So what might that do to all-day kindergarten? And is that another reason to, you know, to support it?
Yeah. And one of those other questions that you brought up and Joe and other board members brought up was this question: who around us does full-day kindergarten?
Right.
Karen and Denise researched it, and I'll have Karen kind of talk to you about who's doing full-day kindergarten, who's not, just so you have that piece as we come back around. So, Joe, where are you at with the...
So, where am I? And we're doing this 1 to 5?
Is yeah. All right. Fist to five, but...
I heard it.
Sorry, getting all educational on you.
I got you off track with my first question. You know, I think it seems clear, and, you know, it's hard for me not to bring the economics.
Absolutely.
Because that's where I work mostly. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about the lower, we have this achievement gap that you've mm-hmm. talked about at our last board meeting, and then again at the state of the district address. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, that is somewhere we need to focus our resources. And reading the research, and Erica just basically said it, there's a 5 there for getting those children that we need to make an impact as early in the process. So there's your all-out, full go, in my mind. But as far as having it for every child, you know, yeah, the research, you know, is it out there enough? Is there enough being done? I mean, that's what you're asking here. Is there a leveling off just based on that's what you bring to the table?
Yeah.
And if you get it long enough, there's diminishing returns. And I can see that being the case, and I can understand that fully, and the research is showing that currently. However, I'm wondering, in my mind, especially with the initiatives we bring forward, and other people will bring forward when this becomes more commonplace, is there a better way to do it? You know, every day there's a better way. I mean, we see that in society every day. People are doing things better today than they did 20 years ago. So I do believe that will happen ultimately with how we're teaching our kids, not only in full-day kindergarten, but beyond. Do you have that extra more than half a day, as we know, because by the time they take the coat off and put it back on, it's a lot less time than we really want to believe or talk about. So I believe that there is opportunities to grow it more than that research shows. So I'm in. I don't know if I'm a full five on that, just because I have that economic thing caught in my head. So maybe
would it be
four and a half?
Would it be similar to Catherine, where in on certain kids?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm all five.
Yeah, that's what I
stop, do it, figure it out.
No figure it out for
whatever we got to do, because I mean, you sold me on, you know, on this achievement gap, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of different things we need to do, I'm guessing, but this is one thing I think we have to do. This isn't a want or a need. Mm-hmm. This is something we have to do to get that achievement gap.
So I'm hearing five.
I'd go six on that if you allow me.
Okay.
But, you know, the other way, you know, I'm four, four and a half. I mean, it's just I want to show it.
Well, yeah, I still have questions too. I mean, it's
right.
it's a cost.
Absolutely.
It's a site. It's those things.
Yeah.
It's important.
I appreciate it. Dean?
In my gut, I'd say I'm about a three and a half on this. Starting out, it certainly seems like a really good idea to do it. When I read the research, it doesn't seem to last past third grade. This Jeffco school report actually says that by third grade, the kids that had half-day kindergarten are doing better than the kids that did full-day kindergarten. So that is, you know, that's completely counterintuitive, unless you look at the Finland model,
yeah.
who doesn't let kids start till they're 7 years
yeah.
old, and maybe there's something to that. But, you know, what we do know is that we have an achievement gap, and we've got to address the achievement gap some way. And if our way to address that is to try to get more time with those students, then I think it's a worthwhile endeavor to do. But we have real problems with budget concerns with the schools, budget concerns with operating expenses. We're already overcrowded. I really think that this is going to be something that it isn't just up to us. I think we're going to need to maybe do some very in-depth listening sessions, get a lot of people in town to come and talk about this, educate them on this, because if we do decide to go full-day kindergarten, and it's going to take the support of this whole town to do that because of all the steps that are going to be needed to be able to do that. So I don't know that it's just us saying today where we feel it's going. I think we need to find out what people think and have some real dialogue going back and forth on that. So.
And that's a direction.
Yeah.
To me, that's a direction that the board can give me and my team tonight is, Paul, I want you to go forward. I want you to engage with the community on full-day kindergarten. What does this look like? So that is an absolute direction. So I've seen yours is a little bit differently than here.
Okay.
Go forward. Is that fair?
Yeah.
What do you mean by all the steps that have to happen?
Well, for us to be able to do full-day kindergarten, we need to figure out the facilities issue. It's a bigger, we make our facility, our present day facility issue worse when we go to full day kindergarten, because now we need 9 more classrooms than we were trying to solve originally. The second part is we need a bond or something to be able to pay for this. And we look at SB 16 could come through and take out some money at the same time. So we've got some budget issues there. So we've got to be able to get through those too. And there's some research that's not 100%. It's not bulletproof that says, boy, you put in full-day kindergarten, you fix all the problems. And I don't want to say that's how we're going to fix our achievement gap and then rely on that. And then when we don't fix the achievement gap, realize we just spent a lot of money and didn't get to where we wanted to go to. So I think this is going to take educating a lot of folks in Glen Ellyn on this and seeing what people think, because really what you're asking them is, if you want this, if, you know, we talk about other communities, what they do, there's a part of it that says, do we do it just to keep up with the other communities? That's a pretty expensive thing to be just like the other communities, but maybe we do that anyway. You know, we have the same question about our facilities. Okay. If you look at our buildings and how old they are and how cramped they are compared to other neighborhoods in the area, you know, that's a big decision too. I think we need to engage the public. I think we need to have a lot of conversation with the public around this so we can find out, we can lay out, this is what it means to say you're for this. If we do that, are you going to support that? So that's fine.
Sure.
You know, I see that I'm seeing that we're creating a linkage between the achievement gap and full-day kindergarten. I don't know if they're mutually exclusive. I mean, I guess I kind of agree with Joe. It's like, okay, I think we need to solve the achievement gap. I don't know that all-day kindergarten is the silver bullet that's going to fix it. I'm not sold on that. I know with it, we kind of broke down how the time works with full-day kindergarten. I mean, it didn't seem like there was a lot of time. There was a lot of time getting organized for this and organized to do this, but I don't think there was a lot of instruction during that time period. I know when
I'm
I talked to
you. Just to clarify, do you mean the half-day program we currently have?
Yes.
Okay, you said full-day, so when we say we have a half-day kindergarten, what we're saying is there's kind of scope creep at the beginning and the end of the time.
Right.
So how much instruction actually goes on,
right,
you know, is a little bit different.
Yeah, and I don't know.
We've got some experts right behind you who can answer that exact question. How much time are you teaching in a half-day? And I can reach back out to you've got three or four kindergarten teachers right behind you who could answer that question for us if you want that.
Well, I mean, that's a. I know we talked about it, mm-hmm. And I don't know.
There is some creep on both sides. They are five. It takes a little time to get off coats, get them in the classroom, go to the restroom, do those pieces. 2.5 hours. You got a lot to do in 2.5 hours.
Right.
We run a tight ship. All of us try and work on building routines to get the kids moving as quickly as possible, so that we don't lose instructional time. Because our goal is to teach and have kids engaged for as much of the time that we have them as possible. Mm-hmm. So we work even on those little things, like taking off our coats or putting back our coats. We work on making sure that it's quick and flawless. Mm-hmm.
Well-oiled machine.
Yeah, I know we talked about if you talked to John Perdue about their because I think they had a little bit more time.
They have the 2 hours and 45 minutes. That's their half day. So it's
okay.
Roughly 15 minutes more than what we have for our students.
This is an 89.
Again, Drew asked me to reach out for that piece.
Yeah, and I think I'm not sold on full day.
Yeah.
And maybe there's something in the middle. Maybe that's adding another hour or another half hour, whatever that is. I'm just not sure that the full day, based on the resource piece, is gonna solve the achievement gap. I think it's important that we solve the gap. I'm behind that 100%. I'm not sure
full day kindergarten.
I'm not fully supportive of full day kindergarten because of the different pieces. I mean, I think Dean's right. I mean, there are a lot of pieces that, I mean, the moons need to align to make all of it work, you know, and I don't think we can do it with the way we're configured now. I mean, we would have to put 9 portables back. I mean, it kind of defeated the whole purpose of the 16 that we got, you know, we got rid of. So okay. I guess I'm at about a two.
Okay. So what?
I just want to clarify something that I want to say out loud. We're not talking about this and saying we're going backwards in terms of our facilities. That's not this conversation for me, at least. I'm not looking for one answer to the academic issue, but I believe this is a significant piece of it. So I don't want to have put out there that if there's a decision to move forward to, you know, to look at this, that it means we have interim classrooms coming back, global classrooms coming back. That is a no-go for me. It's a non-starter. We are where we are in terms of reducing portable, and we're moving forward on that, and then we have to figure out with all-day kindergarten how we make that align.
And one of the pieces that you brought up, Drew, Karen and I did look into that by, you know, extending the kinder day. We would have to, one, work with our association to change the contract for our kindergarten teachers. We'd have to change the contract around busing as well, because many of those students ride the same bus at the beginning of the day. So now you have a different bus schedule for those pieces there. Because we took your suggestion, we really did look at it and tried to problem solve through it. But as we looked at the work day and how to use the classrooms, some of the afternoon kindergartners would be there. We thought until about roughly 4:30-ish, because the morning one would last until, I think we said, 1, you know, you'd be right around that 1:20, 1:25 time frame. So it was really tough on the times, but we did look at that question that you posed to us. We did see an increase there in transportation costs and teacher costs as well, because they're now their days outside of that 8-hour workday that they would have to be.
Well, did you start in your model at 9 a.m., or were you able to?
Well, either way, you can flex it earlier. But the hard part is the teacher workday is now a 9-hour workday, 9.5-hour workday outside of that.
So you might have to, let's just say you hypothetically went that route, could you address the teacher contract with some part-time positions?
I guess you could, but for me, I know when we get, and Lori's not here tonight, she's got the cold that is going around, but I know it's better for us when we hire full-time employees. I generally believe that when you have a 1.0 FTE and a teacher, it's easier to hire one.
Right.
And I think we get some great quality teachers in that as well. But we did look into it.
Okay.
Just a quick follow-up question. So what you're telling me is, if you just add additional teachers, if you go to full day kindergarten, the paradigm of the current kindergarten teachers is going to change. So
there would be cost increase with that, yes.
But what you're telling me, you know, that doesn't require going back to the GIA.
No, because that would be a 8-hour workday. Anytime you change the workday, you would have to go to members and say, are you okay with this workday change? Because that is a contractual piece and something that we negotiate.
But going from half to full.
But that would then just be a choice of an employee saying, I choose to work a half day. And we do have some employees who choose to do that. But the vast majority of our employees are an 8-hour workday employee.
Okay. Patrick?
Do you have a number?
Oh, a number? I'd say a 3.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, Drew. What was your number?
I thought it was 2.
Two.
Thank you. Sorry.
No, that's...
Joe's
on 6. Well, no. I went off the charts. I made my own rules.
Hey, though, we've been off the charts.
Well, I'm not going to repeat what everybody said. I'm a 1.
Okay.
You're going to have to convince me just because of what everybody has said already. I know we're trying to take money off the table, but to me it's always on the table.
I took it off.
I'm not going to take it off.
I got you to take it off the table.
Just looking at, thanks, Maureen, for giving this to me, but just looking at our scores that we looked at last week, We're 15 to 20% above state standards. I remember a presentation in the spring where even in our comparative school districts, we're right there in our districts that we compare ourselves to. We've had half-day kindergarten for a number of years, which tells me it's supporting these high standards that we're doing now, as well as the great work that our teachers are. It's a marginal thing to me. I think there's still a lot of changes happening in the school. I don't think we need to add another one right now. It's a marginal return to me. A lot of $1 million worth of cost. I'm going to be the bad guy, but you know, $1 million worth of cost is bringing what I don't think was going to be the Mensa to collaborative group by the fourth grade. Pictorial that Eric put at me. So I'm all for kindergarten teaching. My kids took it. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity that allowed me to pay for all day kindergarten. But as a school district, as a finance manager, professor, I can't see it. I'm a one.
Okay.
John, can I? Or
Paul, yeah.
I think we also should know, if we're comparing a full day at kindergarten, I know some full day programs have instruction in the morning and it's playtime. And maybe you could address what curricular gains there would be, or would we be offering something that's 6 hours long and 3 hours of it are instruction and 3 hours are supervised creative play?
I think those would be some of our next steps. If the board said, go forth and pursue this, we would, because a full day for teachers as well, they would need to determine what is the best approach to meeting the needs of students in a full day program. What does that look like? And really getting those next steps in place. But I really feel like I needed, before many other steps were taken, I needed to get direction from the board.
I just don't see how we're going to be able to manage it financially right now. Right now, with all the stuff that we're trying to do, and I know we want to say take the finance off, but we got $8 million looking at us in the...
We have to ask the questions around finance. I never intended
I just think it's so much part of the conversation that I'm not even off the pedestal yet to say even consider going down this, because we haven't even conceptually put this together to see how we can afford it.
Well, and I think it's hard to do. But at the end of the day, it's priorities, right? I mean, it's where it goes, and then your programs go, your budget fits your programs that you want. The one thing I wanted to point out, and actually you want to remind me of this, is somebody said, there's two things that occur here that you see happening with your student population. One is we have an increasing population from low to mod. I mean, that's what you're seeing. And that's something we have to recognize, that growth in our district. As a board, we have to do that. And those growth numbers are something that, you know, you can see in the numbers as we get them. But I really don't know them percentage-wise over the last 5 years. We talk about it. It seems more anecdotal than actually put into a graph for me. I like graphs, as you know. But that's something that we definitely have to understand. And we have to make our decisions based on that. You know, we can't base it on what we looked like in 2005, 10 years ago. We can't do that, because that gap will grow, and then those numbers will come down. If we don't attack the gap, those numbers, overall numbers, will come down. It's just what we're going to see. We have 507 students that fit that profile right now. It comes up on the chart you showed us in the last board meeting. The other thing is, and you mentioned this, Patrick, but people are subsidizing kindergarten, half-day kindergarten today in our community. And the people that can subsidize it is where the gap gets wider. I mean, that is just happening in our community. There's programs all over. People that in our community,
a lot of choices
are
in
taking,
our community.
I don't want to say, they look at the market and say, here's a market I will make a profit at. You know, because District 41 doesn't have the resources, be it money, be it classrooms, whatever it is. But I think those two facts, I just want to make sure they're on the table. You know,
and I think parents make choices mm-hmm. when they're choosing to purchase a home. I know one person who told me, I chose to live in Wheatley because they offer full-day kindergarten. love Glen Allen. This is great. But it was a personal choice. It's very similar to what you were saying. Sometimes people who have means are able to make those choices, whereas some other community members cannot. But it's a fact out there for many parents of students with kindergarten age. They're making choices.
One of the other, and I know John, you've still got a
time. Please, John, take your time.
The one question I thought I asked, if I didn't, I'm sorry, but we came up, it's an option to go full day.
Yes, it is not.
It's not required to be a full day kindergartner if you mm-hmm. a parent, or even if you're a 5-year-old that says, I don't want to.
Yeah,
whoever out. Gets a choice in that option.
Yes.
I don't want to go. what is the data on that? I mean, is it 80% of the people take it? Is it 50%? Because that number matters.
Oh, it matters. We've been talking about
that. We could be unique here in Glen Allen.
And all the parents would say, you know what, I want them only half day. Right. Or the vast majority, 95%. That's that next question we have to ask the community is, how many would engage in a full day program? Because I had a parent email me on the other side, what you just said, who said, I wouldn't take that option. I want to know that I still have a choice to have half day. So there are going to be some parents who make that conscious decision.
What are our neighboring communities seeing in their student population?
From across, who's taken and who's not? That's a question I haven't asked, but that's a good one.
Yeah, well, but if you just look at 200, they started with 5 of their schools, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tested it, and then they went to all 13. So they didn't open up to all 13 of their elementaries unless they knew they were going to fill those seats. And that is with the tuition cost for all-day kindergarten. This is District 200's website. Is $4,000. All students will be required to pay the full amount unless the applicant qualifies for the district fee waiver. So they have, and that's the other thing is, you know, that we would need to have.
So that was fee-based as opposed to open up kind of a little bit different. But I think they're great questions. The trend is,
if you're fee-based, you're going to have less of a problem. Percentage,
yeah.
Well, it depends on the community.
But it's still growing, which is interesting.
But our like communities around us that have it, that's the best indicator of what we would have.
Are they going?
Are they going? If, I mean, if it's fee based, you're going to have a lower.
And you have that information?
Yeah, so we'll share that with you.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you saying one quick question?
Please, Drew.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely, Drew.
What's the data? Evolving social emotion
On kindergarten
from going from half to full.
So they talk about it in the research that those are the pieces that a little bit more challenging to fall within the research. And I don't know where I just put my paper.
I think
but
most you've got of them it. Say
I have
most
the points
say
here. They said that they essentially that. Less behavioral problems.
Thank you.
Increased social emotional development. Remediation and attendance is better, and they believe it sets you up for success later. That was the consensus around social emotional, which was more, in my opinion, was more consistent across all the studies. That was where there was less disagreement on the benefits of on the social emotional side.
Absolutely.
All right. I think.
Anybody else?
No, go ahead.
All right, go ahead. Well, as you guys know, I approach everything from an academic and curricular perspective. In reading the studies, I think just like almost any topic that you read, you can have studies that say it's good, studies that say it's bad. I'm sure we could even find studies that say cigarette smoking is still good for you. But what I think I concluded out of the research that I did and the reading that I did was that there were at least a few themes that were consistent against in the studies that were against and the studies that were for. The three themes that came out consistent for me was one, the social emotional. We just discussed about that. The other one was literacy. There seemed to be at least agreement even among those that said the benefit may not last. There was agreement that reading levels, sounds, more words, vocabulary, all those things benefited kids and allowed them to grow. Now, that may not be necessarily something you measure in an ISAT in terms of sounds or, you know, vocabulary or things like that. So literacy to me seemed like it was a consistent theme regardless of the study. The other one was math. For some reason, the guys are a little slower and dumber in math when they're young. And it seemed that there was some consistent thought that starting earlier helped boys with math. And again, that's just from the research that I read and the papers that you passed out and some others. So for that reason, from an academic perspective, you know, to me, it makes sense when I look that, you know, I think the other research, it's clearly a trend that's happening around us. It's a trend that's happening in the U.S. It makes it a little easier for parents in terms of schedules. Makes it easier for teachers in terms of getting the content that they need to the kids. So to me, I found a little more controversy in the subject than I was expecting after, you know, reading about it for a while, but I still think in the end there was some merit to it. I do feel that a couple things have to happen for that third grade thing phenomena to fade away. The first part for me was, you know, you just don't know how people implement it. So if they just implement it and said, hey, longer day, more reading, more math, but they didn't embed that into their curriculum moving forward, and yeah, I could see it benefits me that year because I got that, and then everything else went to the same, right? So for me, if we did this, I wouldn't want to say, hey, let's just extend the day, let's do more reading, more math. It would have to be, you know, taking the fact that we've got those kids and now taking our curriculum and looking at it from, you know, K through 5 or, you know, all the way through, so that we can take advantage of the fact of that and not just, you know, expand it just for expanding purposes. I think what I've heard, at least from the administration and from other reading, is the core standards, and I heard it from Karen too, the core standards make it such that kids need more time. And if they don't get that, you know, that could impact our you know, our ability to continue to do well. A couple other thoughts from my perspective that I wrote down is, you know, I sort of challenge this $1 million number. 9 teachers, $1 million. I challenge that. I don't, you know, I could see how that could be a lot less, in my opinion. But that's obviously something that we'd have to talk about it. Eric, I would also challenge this concept just because for me, curriculum is more important than facilities. Mm-hmm. So if I had to use portables that I have now to do it and it benefited the kids, it's not a non-starter for me. I'm not...
Well, portables that we have currently, but yeah. Not bringing new ones in.
Yeah, but ones we have now. So example, I could do full-day kindergarten at Ben Franklin next year. No problem. I have the facilities.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me.
Yeah.
We have whatever we have, the facilities we have, and we have to think about that holistically. And that includes what portables we have for between now and when they're phased out.
Okay.
But
I took your comment as, hey, we got rid of 16. We're not going to add 5 more to get full-day kindergarten, and then we only got rid of 11.
Well, I
would be okay with it. I'm just saying from my perspective, I'm fine with that because I don't see the portables as having a correlation with our scores dropping or poor education.
Well, one thing you have is you have less room because the room you had the portables on are now have brick and mortar.
Okay.
So like a Forest Glen, it's like, where do you put them?
Right, but I'm saying Sue, you got to stop that. But at Ben Franklin, you could do full-day kindergarten.
Is it absolutely accurate that tomorrow, okay, let's say when construction's finished, we could implement full-day kindergarten at Ben Franklin?
Only if you took portables that you had there, reconstructed them, and then moved them somewhere else.
John, that part of your thing.
Why do you have to do that? They're there now. The kids are using them now.
Okay.
Right?
They're not being removed at the end of the construction.
That's their plan, to have them removed. They're temporary. It was the number one priority for this board. I'm just going off of what the board told me a long time ago.
I'm just saying, we're
re-debating.
All I'm doing is addressing the fact, for me, it's not a non-starter that I could use the facilities I have today to implement something that would benefit from a curriculum.
Not exactly in the form in which they are there today.
Correct.
You might have to spend a little money. I would challenge that. And then just this whole concept of the achievement gap. You know, first of all, there are a lot of districts across the country, over 60% that have full-day kindergarten, there's still an achievement gap. Mm-hmm. So I don't, you know, again, not when you look at the, you know, the 14 or so factors that impact the achievement gap, you know, a lot of them don't necessarily have to do with full-day kindergarten. A lot of them have to do with kids feeling safe, you know, being provided an environment where they, you know, where the teachers don't look at them and say, okay, you kids are low income, so you're, you know, we can't teach you. I mean, there's just a lot of things besides full day kindergarten that are, you know, the whatever 14 factors to the achievement gap. So I don't know that that's going to solve the achievement gap. Maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't, but I don't think. And then my final comment is, I don't think this is as hard as we're all making this out to be. You know, to me, it's a decision as a board we should just make, and then, you know, have the administration, you know, tell us what they need to do to make it successful. I don't think it's as hard as we make it out to be. Having said that, though, the priorities are, we are implementing 21st century learning, is that what we call it now? We're implementing PBL. We've got, you know, a foreign language that we're implementing. So if we were to do this, something that would be important to me, and again, it's not anything bad about our administration or the people we have doing it, but thinking about bringing someone in to help us do this just from the bandwidth perspective, someone on a temporary basis that would come in and just help make this happen, just because we're doing so many other things that we have to be successful at, or at least learn enough from to know if we need to continue or not continue.
As I sit here as a superintendent, I have no consensus.
3.56.
On where you're at with
put that here.
My next steps on full-day kindergarten, other than...
What I'm hearing is that we need to have more questions answered, and one of the big ones, and I've brought this up before, and actually we had a community member bring this up, but this idea of our... you know, of understanding what the community would want and would they accept it. You know, if you build it, they will come. It's we have to know that they will come. And so I think it's important to do a couple of things. Number one, we need numbers. And to Patrick's point, this is not money that we pull out of a hat. You know, we have to see where it would come from. Whether or not it's $900,000 or it's $700 or it's $1.2 or whatever it is, the operating expenses in 204 are $1.8 million annually to run their kindergarten program. So we have startup costs, and then we have, you know, maintenance costs as a result of that as well. So those things have to be factored in, curricular, et cetera. So I just think that we need more information from you, and I would want to hear from the community to say, you know, yeah, here's our take on it. We are looking for this, and we want to blend. We want to have some opportunities for half-day kindergarten. And would an all-day program afford that? So do you bundle that in where you could go just for the morning and then you have two kids stop out because their parents want them home for the afternoon, but that full-day program continues to go on? I don't know. But that is a question I would have, and I just think we need more information.
Okay.
And I want the community to weigh in.
What I heard is you need more information directly from the community.
Yeah.
That, to me, is that number one. And that's what I heard Dean say as well. That's the driver you're waiting for, is to fully engage the community on full day kindergarten.
And
what do they need?
And would they do it? And is there a willingness to pay for this?
Is there a BSO?
Well, all those things we have to do. If we do that, there's a lot of steps we're going to have to put in there.
Okay.
And
that's there.
And more concrete from you in terms of. Where does it get placed? What is it?
Yep.
You know, where do the classrooms?
So can we? Because you know we've had over a year to, you know, talk about this, and we said we were going to try to come to this meeting with our questions asked and answered. So can we get a list of these questions so the next time we have this meeting, we don't have this same dialogue? And I've heard we want to engage the community. What else do you guys want to know, so that the administration can go?
Well, he has all the questions we've sent in. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Well, they've been answered, right? Are you going to present them now?
So we talked about the number of kindergarten throughout the area. Karen, we'll talk to you about that.
We're at 3.1, by the way.
Well, I'm slipping in my numbers. Just based on
this
conversation I'm hearing, I think it's way too tenuous in terms of the gain, given the commitment that we would be asked to make. I just, in a way you're speaking in favor of John, but you're talking about all these new programs that we've just gotten underway, and I feel like it's too much to try to commit to this. Maybe we spend a year getting community input, and then we know which way we need to go.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm just, what I'm saying is I don't want to do this and sacrifice the other things we're doing.
Well,
I'm saying
correct.
If we were to pursue this, I would think we would need more bandwidth. I haven't heard from the administration whether they feel they need more bandwidth.
The thing was, your question was more, a little less based on all the problems and hurdles you had to go over and just what your gut was telling you. So, but that's okay. I mean, some of us are answering with the full weight of the finances, the facilities, mm-hmm. and bandwidth and everything else, and others were answering the global question that you asked.
Yeah.
So it's not even answering the same question, quite frankly.
Karen, what does the kindergarten look like around here?
So, after the last meeting, I think it was May, 52 different school districts were contacted. And so there's a lot of them in DuPage County, but also Lake County, Kane County.
I'm sorry, Karen, did you say 52?
So, just with our feeder districts that feed into Glenbard West, there's six of us. Three of them offer full-day kindergarten, and two of them do not offer. And they're part of this larger 52. 24 of these offer half day only. 18 offer full day. 6 offer it for at-risk kids, and then they give the option of tuition. 3 of them is for at-risk kids only, and 1 of them is tuition only.
Who are the 3 at-risk kids?
As I do that, though, too, when you guys were talking a little bit about how many opt-in or opt-out, we got a few comments in that, and 3 of them that commented on the one district, there's only 1 half-day student in another district, 3 out of 172 kids.
That's pretty low.
Are half-day. And then the other one, only 6 were half-day students, and that one was 6.
6 out of.
He didn't get me the total, so maybe they look a little bit smaller than us.
Okay. So the opting in was high for those districts that had the opportunity.
And typically districts have seen fewer they see more families choose half day in the beginning, but as the program continues to either year after year, more and more of them will then choose full day. But there's no. It could go either way.
Not some of the data has been high.
Typically. So what was I supposed to look up?
The 3
that are at risk only.
So with that piece, you have the kinder numbers out there.
Deerfield?
Yeah.
Deerfield District 109.
That was an opt.
At risk.
At risk.
There's 3 at risk. I think it's important to note, just people have been saying this is like a year ago. It was May 5th when we had this meeting, right?
Gower 62 is another one. But it's noted here that it's not by parents' choice. I mean, they decide which most at risk programs would, based on the data.
Where's Gower?
Willowbrook.
Thank you.
Yeah. Willowbrook's for Ridge, kind of.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. Gotcha. Coming on. You did some work there.
So the other thing that we looked at, that was requested for us to look at was space utilization.
Mm-hmm.
So across the board, we had our principal as Karen. Number of others look at space utilization across our district. Roughly around 70, our classrooms are used 75 to 78% of the time, but that's a little bit misleading because when it's not being used, they're in the cafeteria, they're eating, they're doing that, or they're in a specialist or an elective class at the elementary level. Our classrooms are being utilized all the time. This is a question Joe asked. There is not a lot of downtime within our classrooms. That's what we recognize. So when we lay out the maps, when we look at adding more kindergarten and other classrooms to these, to our schools, it just continues to overstress the classroom. And some of the spaces that, as I mentioned earlier, are really tight spaces. So this is something that the board requested. We went through each and every building, spent countless hours on this piece with our principals to ensure that we had the most accurate data going.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And did you do this for Happy too?
We did.
Okay.
We did. We have that for Happy.
I have my
as
utilization
well.
Plan here, and they have it on the
We have Happy as well.
Can you tell us the 77% max utilization number? What does that mean?
So that's when the classroom's being used. So I'm in room 103. It is being used 77% of the time.
For children. In the classroom,
yeah.
Learning.
And oftentimes what our teachers told us was, even when I'm at lunch, I'm having kids working in my classroom because I'm doing these pieces. So even with that, and we didn't count that in here because it was more anecdotal data when we were engaging with teachers and principals were talking to them. The classrooms are being used often. I think that's what this shows, that we're using our space, we're using it well, and we're using it all the time, and there's not a whole lot of it.
But didn't that utilization study say that there was a, you know, when you were at a certain number, you were using your building to its full capacity? I mean, utilization at 77%, there was, I thought, in the, I kind of remember in that utilization study, there was a benchmark where you had to be to know that your building was fully utilized, and or if it wasn't. And I didn't know if this number 78% or 75%.
Well, that's why I'm asking, because I don't want us to be or others to be confused about it. The 77% talks about the classroom space,
mm-hmm.
not the cafeteria, not the gym, not those other pieces. It's in the classroom. So.
Yep. And we looked at, you know, like the art room, you know, in that 61 to 70% of the time. So we do look at each and every one of those spaces. This grid over here.
Sorry, what?
I thought it was in the 70s.
I thought it did too.
I thought
if you saw a 70% utilization, because this methodology is simply, I've got X amount of hours in the day, and kids are either scheduled in that classroom or not scheduled. That's the methodology.
During their right. During the student's learning day.
Because then there, I remember in the study there was the question of, okay, so does this mean that I could put kids in these classrooms when they're empty to do other things?
Right.
But the way the schedule works, no, because there's nothing for them
there's
to do because they're
at lunch,
they're in gym or at lunch,
and then there are planning time where teachers are in the classrooms as well, planning and those.
Can we count that as utilization? If the teachers are
we did not hear.
Not in this
That's
technology.
Why not on this one.
Okay.
Because it wasn't every classroom across the board. We're trying to be a little bit more consistent. You know, and one of the things that you do notice in our schools, we don't have, teacher lounges across the board. We don't have places. So during lunchtime, teachers go into their classrooms. They go in different places. We don't have set places across the board in all of our schools for that. So that goes into a number of the different spaces that I think are a little bit more substandard than the other districts have.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not able to use those classrooms differently.
Well,
teachers
are
using them for planning, for eating, for
the
doing other
thing,
pieces,
Paul, that you said
working
when
with kids.
When you first started here last year, one of the observations you made that I wrote down was that, you know, as you were walking through all the buildings, and now as you're, you know, been doing that all year, but that the how the space is used changes. So I remember for Churchill one year there was a space that they could turn into partially a teacher lounge and a workspace area.
Yeah.
And then literally by the second semester that was gobbled up because
yeah.
we had a shift. So there's, you know, sometimes we look and we say, oh well, that there's a classroom that's open. And it could be that we have moved some move-ins or move-outs, and that shifts yet again.
Absolutely. I mean, across the board, and Karen knows this better than I do, for years you have bubbles of students that move through each of our schools. And some years you have a four section, some years you have a five. And those are hard to ever account for. So you have to have that space. You have to have classrooms dedicated to those bubble spaces.
Right, to have the flexibility.
You have to. So we have that piece for you.
The portables are reflected or not reflected?
Not reflected.
They're not reflected.
This is hard space.
This is completion of phase one.
Yeah. The qualifier is that this.
Yeah, okay. That's what it looks like.
We took the spaces that were in the mobile before in the building.
Right. So this isn't.
The principal may move things around a little bit, but the utilization is the same.
But for example, at Ben Franklin, if I added the four portables, my utilization would go down.
Right? Yep.
If you put those back into play.
Yeah. Okay.
This doesn't reflect that. This is assuming those are being utilized in the classroom.
So this assumes phase one is complete.
Yes. Phase one is complete.
The site plan is the ones that
and the board approved.
Yeah.
Board approved. Thank you. Also,
okay.
Any other questions on that piece? We looked into the transportation of students. One of Joe's questions was transportation. We had set that out a while ago around where do our kids move from or transported with district-provided transportation. And it really is across the board. Franklin a little less than others, but Franklin pulls from neighborhoods north of south of
North St. Charles.
Yeah. Still don't have all my directions.
St. Charles.
So the transportation piece we've addressed, but it really is across the board where students are using our transportation. Hadley obviously is the number one most transported school. I mean, anybody who lives on that street back there knows that we have 15 buses that pull up.
But it did show you concentration.
It did show us the concentrations.
At the northeast corner of our district.
Churchill is the second most bus school. One, its location, a number of what the state considers safety hazards
are part of that. But absent of which school they're going to, the northeast portion of our district boundaries is where the majority the high concentration is.
Yes.
Do you have any kind of demographics on what we expect our student population to be in the next 5 to 8 years?
We had a study done in 2012.
We had an update done in 2012, yeah.
Yeah. And we can send that one to you. All the other board members have that piece of information. What it said at the end of the day?
Yeah, I was going to say, none of it was. He provided an A, B, and C in terms of where our numbers would be and projected that we would end up in that B level. And that's where we are in terms of our numbers now, or 2012. And then as you look at where he kind of stranded it out, we're still in that B level, which is sustaining our numbers.
Mm-hmm. And is that even with the enrollments that we've got?
That we're seeing. We're right at that 3,500. Next board Tuesday night, we'll show you those numbers, and they've already come up from what I showed you previously. The one school that is still a little bit down is Abraham Lincoln, but I think some of that is attributable to the apartment complex and changing ownership there.
Have you guys done any recent discussion with the Parkside apartment owners at all or come up with anything?
I have not.
My understanding is, and this is just what I'm hearing, five units at a time they're rehabbing. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have five units vacant every time. The increase in rents is substantial. It's a little more than that.
So $950.
Paul,
that's interesting.
Good conversation, but we're going.
Yep.
Sorry.
No. I appreciate it.
So what are we asking him to do?
So that was my question. What do you want us to do? I heard from a number of board members.
What I heard first is engage the community in the discussion. What else is it that we would like to hear?
I think What will be important is for you to bring back some numbers based on, and I think we have to say if we did this, so let's do a all-day kindergarten view. We see where there's some plug-in in terms of space, but what is that cost estimated to be? And not just the startup, but then the operating costs for that as well. So some next step in terms of operating costs. And then I think, you know, to your point, John, about the engagement, the question is around, what parents would want to do in terms of subsidizing or paying full for all day kindergarten. But certainly our neighbors are doing well, not without precedent. And it would be a way that we could have a more concrete conversation around go or no go.
Could we ask for a comparison if we were to go with something that was more blended, like to target the at-risk students with full day, maybe to beef up our early childhood intervention even more, because I think that's got more concrete research in the gains that come from that. I mean, can we look at some kind of a mixed model there and see how that stacks up next to full day for everybody?
I agree with that approach 100%. I think that we don't know those numbers. I mean, if we're talking about at-risk and low income, are we talking 40 students? Are we talking, 80 students? And that then changes where you're going with this from a facility standpoint and a cost standpoint. And then we can make a decision on that. To me, if you're analyzing it, you might as well look at it in this little section and then in this big section, if that's what it is.
Am I hearing you say expand it to preschool as well? I just want to make sure I'm really clear with what I'm tasked.
Yeah, I did write it in. I mean, Erica pointed out, and I think that was a good point, that you've already made a strong commitment to the early childhood intervention, and from what I'm hearing anecdotally, that's having great results with students who might have underperformed without it.
And you guys talked about expanding that in the past, because the history behind we have a waiting list. The history is we used to have a program that used to be funded by the state.
Correct.
And then they took the funding away in 2009.
3 years,
4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to do my best.
Yeah.
But we agreed as a board before I was here to keep it capped at what that level was and not.
Yeah, well, I think it was 80 kids is where we capped it.
Yeah.
We said we would continue it at the 80 kids.
Yeah. For me, I think that cap, since there's already been a lot of discussion around that, and the board has made that direction in the past, and it's working, and it has a good foundation to it. For me, I don't know that I want to expand into that. I really want to look at the kindergarten and say, where are these, low to mod students? How many do we have? How many classrooms do that need? Do you have to centralize that location? Things like that.
But I don't know if they're exclusive or not, but if you're looking at risk and you're looking at full day kindergarten, you're piling on even more than you had concerns about piling on this with the other things, and now you're piling on more. But
well, to me, I'm looking at, I think pilot testing things is often a good thing to do, and concentrating on the students that need it the most seems to be the bang for your buck in a sense, and that's what the studies show. So to me, it's a good starting point. The at-risk, the three programs, the three districts that did it, maybe we should see how similar they are to ours, Deerfield, the North Shore, and then Willowbrook. To me, if there's a model there and we can look at it and see their results, that's often good to learn from other people's experience and the woes they had and the successes they had. Are there districts like ours? If they are, then maybe we formulate the same thing and have even more success than they have or had. So,
one of the other questions that the board asked us to look into was at the end of kindergarten, how are our kids doing? So with that, I'll hand it over to Karen.
And this is just to determine at-risk numbers, and so we did pull the data for this fall, our current kindergartners district-wide. There were 35 kids who are below the 21st percentile, and then 44 below the 40th. So starting the year, there's 79 kids who we would, just based on
data, not looking at traditional at-risk factors. It could be anybody.
Were those kids part of our at-risk program before they came in? Or these are
no, these
just
are just
the numbers. I didn't go down to that level of detail at this point in time. This is the first year where we tested everybody using the math test, kindergarten in the fall. So then I just had her pull the last 2 years of spring data, 2014 and 2013. So when we ended kindergarten in May, June, there was a total of 87 kids who were still below the 40th percentile. And at the end of spring in 2013, there were 107 kids. So that it's just trying to kind of gauge, I mean, if you look at this year's 79, that's about four sections of full-day kindergarten for certain kids. And they don't fall in neat buckets. Like, they're not all going to be at one school, so typically what other districts will do is they bus those kids to
center school,
wherever it would be, and then, you know, you've got to you just work through that, you know, you have to feed them and what that's going to look like and how the busing kind of impacts. So, but that's just kind of rough numbers to get an idea.
So, Paul,
yes,
I'm looking at this from a executive board, if I can put that hat on. Speaking to managers, my managers, and you're never against a good idea. This is a good idea. But you got to convince me that you have thought through the idea and let me be the biggest champion for my boss, the community, or whomever it is that, you know, you turn in all different directions. So I guess my final comment would show me how you're going to do this. Show me how you're going to do it. And then when you show me how to do it, I'm going to poke holes in it, and then it's going to become a better plan.
Okay.
Because you're going to be able to build off of that. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm against full-day kindergarten or that idea, but what my manager came to me was with an idea and no execution.
Do you want to hear what kindergarten looks like during that 6.5 hour period of time?
No, I want you to come to me and say, my educators, my teachers, my principals, my staff think kindergarten is a good idea. This is what it's going to cost. This is what how much space we're going to need, or these are the students, or plan A is going to be we're going to offer to everybody. Plan B is we're going to have to at risk. Plan C is at risk with full tuition. You're asking me a lot of these questions, and it's all conceptual.
One of the pieces that we have to, and I'm going to push back my executive board, is I have to have direction from you before I go out and be able to get the designs, get those decisions made on each and every one of those levels. I needed to get from this board, where are you at? Before I go down, this is countless hours that I've got to spend on this role, and I've got a few other things going on in this district. I want to know from this board, what do you want from me?
I don't think.
What do you want? Do you want full day kindergarten for me to get in with these gentlemen and spend countless hours with them to say, what does the building look like? Where is it at? How does it lay out? Now, do we have a layout?
Do we have to have you do that piece without that front end? Or can we have the front end as a board and the communication with the community without having design time and that type of thing?
But I don't know how I don't know how I answer your question.
Right.
I'm just looking for where do you want me to go next? Well, I can go down full cost. I don't know if an elementary costs $25 million.
I don't think you need to go there personally.
Okay.
I don't think you need the whole nine yards here.
Okay.
I don't think you need to either.
If we agree with what you present on the options, we have to be a board that then looks at those options and then sends you in the right direction on one of those options. Maybe two. Because if you need nine classrooms, I mean, we can understand that, you know. And if we say yes, that's worthy of all this design time and the construction cost, then that's the direction you go. Mm-hmm. But to start out without having all the, you know, knowing my options with details, to me, I don't see that as useful time and resources and money. I mean, I just I don't.
that's where
I'm not. I, you know,
that's where we landed. I
don't know if you have enough to go forward. I mean, you got three. You're less than three now with people. You know, so.
But to your point, Joe, I don't hear any of us saying it's not a good idea. You just amended some of your perspective on this, Patrick, which I appreciate. I think as a board, we have a duty to respond to this conversation, which we had in earnest in May. It's not been a whole year. It was really in May we picked this up. I mean, I have my notes that talked about options of a pre-K building, which the board knocked down.
There was your point.
That was my idea, which I think is brilliant. But my point is, I mean, we've been talking about this, and I think we need to do our due diligence around this and get back from you, okay? High level, these are the numbers. And this is how we offset that. If we have 50% of the parents who pay full tuition, and that would be $38.75, that's what this is going to cost, right?
What I hear... I need to engage parents because I don't have those numbers. I can't engage parents in asking about full-day kindergarten and say, would you go to a full-day kindergarten with or without numbers?
Yeah,
so I
hear
that.
Sense of interest.
What
you can do, and I don't know if this helps people get there, is you can say, we have a program, and you know we got X amount of kids in the district. If 20% take it, here's the facility. Okay. It's a spreadsheet. Here's the facility. Here's the incremental operational cost. If 50% take it, if 80, if 100, right? And then it's a simple spreadsheet, and then you say, and by the way, if they pay $1,000, this is what it costs us. They pay $2,000, here's what it costs us. And it's all done in a spreadsheet, and it's done in a day. And
but I think that's that sounds nice.
How hard is it?
Parents have to tell me, do they want to pay or they don't want to pay or those pieces?
There's another part that's troubling me now that isn't going to help this decision making. So here's the part that's troubling me. Over the summer, we've been talking a lot more about the test results and where things are at. I have a technology webcast I listen to every week, and the only way you get to get on there is you have to say, here's the problem I'm trying to solve. And what we're having a discussion about is full-day kindergarten, but in the analysis of it, at least at this level, it's not 100% that this is going to solve a problem. Last week, in your district address, I think we talked about we have a problem, and the problem is we have an achievement gap. And you said something at the beginning of this meeting that made me think about this more, is that assuming you fix, I don't think anybody's assuming we fix it. John talked about 14 different reasons for it. So this maybe doesn't really fix that gap. And what this does do is use up a lot of resources, building resources, a lot of other money. When we have a gap, and sometimes the kids come in second grade, and third grade, and fourth grade, and you had mentioned before the resource center. You know, we have buildings now that at a certain time the bell goes off and kids go home. Those are now open buildings that we could address kids who are having problem in first grade, and second grade, and third grade, and fourth grade if we did it on a more district-wide basis, that we might do better at solving the achievement gap than just saying it's all about full-day kindergarten. And that's part of why I'd like to have this discussion with the whole community, because there might be some great ideas out there on saying, how do we leverage what we have today, and can we think about it differently? You know, it's great to say, and I think we all agree, if we got kids in for an extra half a day, it probably feels right. It certainly helps out social, emotional, which is going to help out first and second grade. But studies are that it starts flattening out in third grade. How do we keep it not to flatten out in third grade or fourth grade or fifth grade? And maybe that's where our money should be spent, and maybe the community could get more behind that if we said, let's start afternoon programs as opposed to full-day kindergarten.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we as a district are going to prioritize the achievement gap, just on the stuff I read, you've got to do something radical. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not full-day kindergarten, and hopefully no one thinks full-day kindergarten addresses that. But it's got to be radical. I mean, it's got to be radical. It's got to be year-round. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of what happens needs to happen over the summer.
The slide.
There's a lot of factors that are in our control, outside of our control. It involves educating the parents of these kids. You know, I mean, there's so much that has to be done to attack the achievement gap. And unfortunately, at this point, no one has really figured out how to do that. It's just the reality of the statistics that are out there. Actually, get as much money as we've spent, as much as we've done in terms of some of the things like feeding kids. You know, it used to be they were hungry, so it was difficult. So, you know, they got fed. As much as you do that, the achievement gap's getting wider. It's not getting any better right now. So if that's a priority, to me, that's a whole radical different approach that, you know, that we would have to take as a board that would require a lot of, you know, a lot of research and experts to come in and help us do.
So do we have consensus that I reach out to the community on this topic?
Yeah, not at all.
And with that, I would bring back that data from parents as we ask the questions, would you engage full-day kindergarten? Is that something, would you pay full-day kindergarten? Is this something you want?
And it's, remember the 80%. We have to, it isn't just
Absolutely.
The parents. And it's not just the parents of the little kids who we want to hear from. And those are the easy ones to get to come to these.
Yeah.
We have to figure out a way to get all the people that are going to pay for this together and say, what do you think about this? Because it sounds like we need to go to them to get some kind of approval to do this. So.
See, and guys, I fundamentally disagree with that. I think we could, you know, and so I would ask on the cost that, you know, if you did this within our budget, what would we sacrifice? Because when I hear you say that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I'm hearing you say a referendum for full-day kindergarten. So
that's what we were told in our packets, is that right now the budget isn't there for this. And if you look at SB 16, what could happen with that? That right now it doesn't appear as though we could just fit this in by cutting other things. And if we could cut other things, you ought to be doing that anyway.
I guess I would challenge the finance committee to look at that, I guess.
Well, that's part of you getting some interest base from parents and then showing some models around what it might cost if we had X tuition, you know, part subsidy, full, whatever it might be. You know, to just give some insight for yourself, too, to see what that would be.
Does he need community feedback for that, or is that just number crunching? I think that's
well.
Just
I think
number
it's number crunching, but
it's
I think I'm curious to see what their interest is in our pre-K families who might be accessing this in another year or two.
I think we have to.
Yeah, I mean we've done that before when we, you know, done early registration or got our.
I guess I asked it because I didn't want to delay the answer with. The reach out model. I mean, if we can get some finance numbers.
I'm not looking for a deep dive. It's would you be interested if you would? Would you be willing to pay X or whatever it might be? Like just get the temperature, the climate.
This is something we could probably do by December to get, you know, I mean, I'll use the term Survey Monkey, but I mean, there's something that we could get out there to survey the community and meet back in December on this topic. And see what our next steps would be. Mm-hmm. But I guess, again, just in the spirit of, you know, Paul and I sit down and talk, and he says, I need, because this has implications to phase two.
Yeah.
Okay. So, he wants to get to a point where he gets a decision from the seven of us. Right. So, we were both thinking. You know, we're both thinking everyone had an opportunity to get their questions out and get answers, and that we'd be able to come in here with a mindset of knowing what direction to give. Okay, so we're giving him some different direction, and I guess I would just ask everybody between now and December, if you have further information you need, I think this is what Paul would say, he wants it so that he can sit down in December and not now have another conversation around, oh, and by the way, let's do this and that. That's where I think. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's where you're going. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Can I just say, I don't feel like I'm saying anything different than I did in May, and that is, I want some more concrete information. What I do get, and maybe this is what you're saying, John, a little frustrated with, is when we start to brainstorm other models or this or that. You know, that's not our job. To the extent that we're adding more to the table, and maybe that's what you're saying, John. Let's Let's focus on what we have in front of us and what we need to know in order to say this makes sense. It makes sense fiscally. We're hearing from, and this will be a part of your conversation with your teachers, but our professional educators who are our kindergarten teachers to say, here's what would be a part of that and where we see the value. That, for me, is a piece of this. That was a question I had back in May.
And we've asked that question. Our educators, our principals, believe in full day kindergarten across the board. When Karen speaks to them, that is another question we've answered for the board.
The staff believes this. Isn't a brainstorm for me around, well, what could we do instead of this, or would kind of get at that or not. This is, what are the numbers? What's more, this next concrete? I don't see this going till December. I mean, it's, you know,
the only part is
November. I'm good. November.
Yeah.
October.
As quickly as I can engage the parent community on these questions and on these topics.
Yeah, it's, you know, you said this earlier, John. I don't know that this is a huge task. It's getting some feedback that says, are we heading in the right direction on this? If you get feedback from X number of preschool parents coming in with 2-, 3-, and 4-year-olds, and we have those, those numbers, and they're saying, no, I want my kid home in the afternoon. I only want all the, half day.
I just think the data already tells you that answer. The people that have it, they're showing up at a 96%.
Yeah, they're coming.
I don't know that the survey tells you other thing that if I have the option to do it,
I'll do it.
The question you had is, would I pay for it? You also have models out there that do that. So you could certainly go to our community, but what you're going to find is our community is going to be like Wheaton, where they paid for it, or the percentage. You're going to see that the numbers are going to be within some statistical error. You're going to find that. But
but if we don't seek that information, that's the main.
It's often good to seek it so that you also have the community giving their voice. The outreach is important. So that's, to me, the better reason to do it, because the data is going to show you exactly what the data in our own communities. But I have a question. This might seem way off the base, but we did a dual language program, and we chose a certain number for that, and that number is 80.
For the dual language?
Is that right? Right around 80? Dual language?
What do you mean the number is 80?
How many kids do we allow? Children do we allow?
8 each year. How did the program grow?
Well, and Christy is a dual language kindergarten teacher there too. It would be 80.
I think that it's capped at 26
per section.
Per section.
Two sections. This year I'm at 24 and 22.
So we have 40, if I could do that math real quick.
46. Ideally, you have 50-52.
Okay. So last year, what did we have?
22 and 20 around there.
Okay, so we're growing. Okay. And why did we chose that based on reaching out in the survey, or we just felt that was space?
Space was part of it, and we have one section of bilingual that we were kind of pulling into dual language.
Okay. So here
I'm trying to summarize the four things that you guys want to understand. Between now and November, we will figure a way to engage the community in understanding. Would they opt in for a program like this, and would they be willing to pay for it, and try to understand a threshold of what they might be willing to pay for? We would like to understand the operational costs of full-day kindergarten to our budget.
Different models, of what I heard. Let me go there for a second. Okay, I just want to make sure.
Operational costs, how much space we would need, and who we would offer it to. And it sounds like the model that we are considering, throw this out there, but the first model would be full-day kindergarten to everybody. Second one would be a full-day kindergarten offered to a lesser amount of kids. So, we could do it on the spreadsheet. It's 100 kids, 200 kids, 300 kids. And, the reason for that would be either
they're at-risk,
whatever the criteria is that we decide, but at least you'll know, hey, if we're offering it full day versus to everybody versus 100, 200, you'll at least understand the operational cost of that. And then what I'm not sure I heard, but I'm going to throw out there, is that at this point we're not going to throw in the at-risk component to this, as that will just layer on more complexity and more things to implement given this.
What meaning preschool, John?
Yes, preschool would be out of scope for this childhood discussion. Yes, okay. Early childhood,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
And just to drill down one bit on your
drill away, baby.
Point before your last point, because I think you had five at the point. When you were looking at the at-risk kids, not the pre-K, but the K at-risk.
Right.
To me, we had 79 this year, 87, and then 107. So we're really improving at those numbers just on that. So it's interesting. But to me, I want to know the groupings, the demographics of that. I said low to mod versus not low to mod. Because if we're doing a fee-based program,
who are those 100 in?
Yeah, because right. Are they all low to mod, or are they all not? Those are 50-50.
Well, then, I think you'd also want to understand if they were the at-risk kids that came in through the three.
I think that was your point before, yeah. And that's a very good point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
there's a strong correlation.
Let me just try to say this again so we can all absorb it. Between now and November, some engagement of the community around, would you pay for full-day kindergarten? Would you opt into it? If you would, how much would you pay? What's an acceptable threshold? Operational cost of full-day kindergarten under two models, which I will highlight in a moment. How much space would be needed, and who we would offer it to. And the two models are full-day kindergarten, and then our little spreadsheet approach to 100, 200, 300, whatever the numbers end up being. And Joe, did I miss your point at the end? And then we wanted some data from Karen on the 107 from a demographics perspective.
Because I think it helps your financial model.
Because you think we're going to have to subsidize that?
I think that's part of the spreadsheet for me, Patrick, is, you know, if we got 100 kids and then if we subsidize 50 of it,
right.
You know, what does that mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Okay.
So that's the direction.
So anybody else want to add anything
any
to
questions?
That?
Nope. I think we were clear.
Clear as
with that.
Okay, part two of this discussion. Does anybody want a 5-minute bio break or before we go into phase two? Or
I think you gave me. I think we have enough information as it is right now because I don't know how phase two happens without this information.
Paul, I didn't know how phase one happened without this information, but we should.
So we're here. Right? We're here.
Does anybody want to add anything about phase two?
I'd like to. I mean, I'd like to get a better understanding. I think HAB is a big part of this, too, and the utilization, ultimately, of HAB is
absolutely
important.
So, as we look at...
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Good night. You got to wake up early and teach tomorrow. So, when we look at that phase two, Hadley has the 10 portables. As we saw it, and what we heard from the board was portables, the elimination of portables was priority.
Mm-hmm.
It was the top priority.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, the work was around how do we eliminate those 10 portables at Hadley, and that is replacing them with brick and mortar. There are different approaches to it. They've been brought up in years past. I think it's the East Wing, but economically, we believe the best way to approach Hadley from the board priority of elimination of portables is to replace those 10 classrooms, those 10 portables with 10 classrooms of brick and mortar. Within that phase two, there are a number of other deficiencies that we would want to look at that we've engaged our principals, teachers, and others. How do we do this and how do we lay all of this out? But I still believe that the kindergarten piece is a driver. It's a big-time driver for that phase two. So I feel like we've got to come back to you now. What's the community saying around the kindergarten aspect in those 9 classrooms? Once you add those 9 classrooms, once you double the space within your current elementary schools, and we did not use the model of adding back portables because that was not your priority. You clearly said, and board's priority to that, prior to that, said portables You know, this is not what we wanted. They looked at it in 2004. They had a very similar plan to ours. We keep going back to this piece. So
yeah,
I did not look at that at John's.
Yeah, and I just want to lay the stress because when I pulled out the kind of historical review of this, starting back in 2001 with the Blue Ribbon Committee on Facilities, the criteria that's consistent from 2000 to 2004 to 2007-08 to 2009 to now is removal of portables. And by law, you know, just want to reiterate this, we have to have
a plan
in place by state law and school code to remove mobile classrooms. It's not, you know, we still get emails saying, my kids like them, I think they're fine, etc., until it starts to snow and people are walking and kids are without coats and all that. And that's a concern for me, that we keep, that is still a part of our educational model today. It's wrong. And so, you know, I understand what you're saying, Paul, and that we have to, you know where we're going on this.
And if you choose not to do full day kindergarten and you choose to go a totally different direction with phase two and just adding brick and mortar to Hadley and to Churchill to eliminate the portables, that's a decision. But the phase two that I brought forward last year in November that I've continued to be consistent on is you're adding those classrooms to the elementary. When you bring those in, we showed it back in November, we'll show it again is how all these numbers play out in a school. But without the full day kindergarten as the driver, that's a totally different conversation. That is a Hadley conversation in a Churchill only conversation. But that's,
well, your phase two plan included full day kindergarten.
Yeah, so this is not a new.
You have a phase two plan assuming full day kindergarten. You do not have a phase two plan assuming no kindergarten.
No, I was never.
I think it's the other way around.
No. He has a phase two plan for implementing full day kindergarten, but he does not have a phase two plan if we do not do full day kindergarten.
Yeah, it was the phase two, if portables, again, what the board told me and what boards have told other superintendents in the past is portables, elimination of the portables. So if that's not it, then the second one is Hadley in Churchill.
I'm confused by John's statement.
Okay.
Sorry. You're saying that everything we looked at before, back when, whatever, when we got on the board, including full day kindergarten, and we looked at these spalling sites and all this.
So Paul presented to us a phase two. Mm-hmm. And in that phase two, it accommodated full day kindergarten. Mm-hmm. That's what he presented to us as his phase two. So even though the board, quote unquote, did not make a decision on full day kindergarten or not talk about it since May, his recommendation was full day kindergarten, and his phase two was a solution that included full day kindergarten.
It requires a new building.
It's right sizing and it's
right sizing and requires a new building.
Yeah, phase two is a new building. Yes.
Yeah. Because your second priority is the right sizing.
Right.
And there's many classrooms. I've toured, walked through them. Again, it's a choice. If you want to continue to put kids and teachers into that, that's the choice that we make. But I was trying to follow the board's priorities. What did the board want? The board wanted elimination of portables. I gave you a plan for that. The board wanted the continuation of right-sizing schools. I gave you a plan for that. There was the full-day conversation and why we needed to have this conversation, because in May, that's where things were at. They were, I think we had six dots on the full-day kindergarten. I needed to come back, ask this board, where are they at with full-day kindergarten, to give me direction, because I believe I've given as much of a comprehensive plan that I can give at this point based off of your priorities and what you need without giving me further direction to spend additional money on putting together the exact what does that look like, other than what I gave you back in November where we did lay it all out and we showed you how things fit.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation is that I engage the community on full-day kinder. I come back to you as soon as possible. I'd like to have this done quickly, but we have a lot of board meetings and different pieces between now and November. That would be my recommendation as I sit here today.
Yeah, and, you know, Eric, I appreciate what you're saying. I just, when I look back to 2001 and on, it was never, I would say we have evolved more in the latter years mm-hmm. around eliminating portables. Mm-hmm. Before that, there was a lot more problematic, you know, program changes that we were looking to make that I think drove how the solutions were put together. Where I think in this recent board, it was like, yeah, let's just, you know, let's get rid of the portables. There's a little bit of problematic, programmatic changes in the things that we have flexible classroom space. Mm-hmm. But I do think some of the motivation in the early years were more than just get rid of the portables.
Well, because they accrued. I mean, we also only had two at the beginning yeah. and then 16.
Yeah, just you said right from the beginning to this. Yeah. I think that's evolved when
we
got so many.
Yeah, my point is when the district decided it needed to use portables like other districts have, you know, and then moved to get rid of them, it was with the reality that they're not a permanent solution. And I don't hear board members now or previous board members saying they don't agree with that. I'm not sure why we don't understand this, but by Illinois law, these are not classroom spaces that you
right.
can keep
no,
on campus.
That.
You just can't.
I mean, that's,
so,
that's not
John,
a law that's
know,
being
know,
enforced or being pushed or no school district has.
But the other part of that, and we did, you know, in 2010, I think it was, we did a second sort off a very complete sort of what our priorities were in terms of matching up with what the Master Facilities Committee did in 2009. And it included the right sizing and the commitment to bring kids under roof. That term it was over and over again. So, I'm not moving from that. I still think that's really important.
And to back that up, Bob, what was the year prior to FGM? We have maps down or boards down in your office. I think it's 2004, 2005. That is almost exactly this same plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has
almost
because,
exactly this same plan that we brought
with kindergarten.
With the with the spacing. I don't know if at that time all I saw were the additions to the schools yeah. that looked very similar to this and a new elementary.
Yep.
So this portable piece has been
this
a
plan,
conversation.
This has been drawn up many times.
Yeah, this is
as have 15 other solutions.
Well, I don't know about 15 others, but I've seen plans for this one plan and this same
the
conversation.
The schematics all look somewhat
yeah. Spalding ends up being the place. Mm-hmm. Adding a few more classrooms to our schools continues to be that right solution as long as you do that next step to it.
Yeah. Paul, we've had plans where these guys will say we've torn down the north side of Ben Franklin, right? That right. So, I mean, we've had plans where we tear down the north side and we put it back up.
Oh,
we've had
I see
plans
what you're saying.
Where we build it. Ackerman, we've had plans. I mean, we've had plans in
yeah.
multiple. We've had a Main Street plan. We've had many different plans.
The board that I saw, though, were just, I mean, it was amazing how similar.
About the facilities, the phase two plan, is it, you're looking at one site, but how is that going to address the portables at Hadley?
So Hadley's, because it's an elementary, it's that 10 additional classrooms.
How does it address Hadley?
Yeah, the plan has both components. It has that the elementary aspect where we eliminate those portables there, but you also have to address Hadley.
Okay.
With additional construction.
There's construction.
Okay. I apologize.
So you're doing two things. You're building a school and expanding.
Okay. Thank you.
The
other thing, and Paul, I know I sent this to you already, and we've talked a little bit about this, but with regard to Hadley, the other pieces that's been a constant problem is the auditorium and the pods, which were, you know, were meant to be flexible, yeah. but not to be permanent classrooms. And I know with our orchestra program and our band program, and the way it's just exploded, you know, how we look at arts you know, fine arts space.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know,
we've looked at the pod space. We've looked at the current cafeteria space, mm-hmm, to redesign it for classrooms. And then we've looked at just adding 10 on the outside. But all those pieces are going to take a lot more time to study and decide how best to bring those students under brick and mortar. So you're absolutely right. We're looking at those same pieces. I was going under the phase one, phase two that I brought forward to the board, and I think been very consistent for the past, you know, since last November. That's been my train of thought on this. If the board wants to go in a different direction, I can get you all of that information as well.
I look at what I hear is if you're going to right size the school and go full day kindergarten, you're going to need a new site and then fix Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not going to do that, you're going to do something else and you're going to fix Hadley. So there's something that's equal here, right? It's fixing Hadley.
Right. Could we at least agree to do that?
You know, that's what I'm
at least common denominator.
I mean, that level says we need a utilization, which if you did a utilization study, which you have, I'd like to see that if we get that email, because then I can understand.
Okay.
And then understand what options make sense to look at reconfiguring the existing brick and mortar to better, mm-hmm, utilize the space that is already under roof. And maybe that takes care of four portables, maybe it doesn't,
mm-hmm,
and then additions.
It's almost an a la carte menu. I mean, quite honestly, because you start looking at what are those other pieces within Hadley that you can fix. What are you willing to do? What are the pieces at Churchill that you're willing to do? And at the end of the day, those are still going to go to
Hadley's all by itself over here, because you're not moving those kids to another school. If you build another school, you're not doing any. If full day kindergarten happens, doesn't affect Hadley.
If we agree that
the
new school, if you agree that the new school is not a middle school,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love it to be a middle school.
Yeah,
we
know.
We all know that.
Yeah.
YouTube.
So yes, if we all agree that the new school is not a middle school, then
yes,
then phase two plan would apply to what you just said, yes.
And then if you choose to say that Hadley is...
I don't know. Do we agree or not? Can we give them that kind of direction?
I'll vote for Hadley. If you're taking votes.
No,
I realize
no,
it's not a formal...
Well, my assumption tonight coming into this was that we were going to, you know, give more concrete... We need numbers, et cetera, for kindergarten, and then it's a go, no go, right? We just do it. Recognizing that all the documentation, everything we looked at has that all-day kindergarten. I'm good with that,
mm-hmm,
right? I just want to... We need to confirm some of the numbers. We need to confirm the expenses. That's my 0.5 on this, because I'm at an almost 5,
mm-hmm,
right? I think it's important. For all the reasons we talked about, for all the feedback, you had me at 5.
I put you at 5.
And with this.
But for me tonight, it's Hadley, and I bug Paul about this,
mm-hmm,
all the time. It's like...
Where's Hadley?
That's the conversation, in a good way,
yeah.
that we need to be looking at Hadley, because the other thing is we have seen an increase in the need for, first of all, we have a very big middle school. We know that it's, you know, 1,200 students, whatever, you know, around that number all the time. But the needs of the students are changing. The types of students that come in and the needs that they have are changing. Even just looking at our hiring from this year and the number of specialists we brought in terms of psychologists, et cetera, those are changing. We have a nurse's office in there that isn't nearly, you know, the size that it probably should be for all of the professional nursing services that are provided day to day for kids at Hadley. And that's only going to increase. So things like that are... it's our, you know, that school is one that everybody goes into. And so it's fine arts, it's our OTPT, special student services piece that is lacking, our nursing, you know, it's those kind of things. So, you know, what I wanted to be able to put on the table tonight is having that, you know, having that insight as well and making sure that we're addressing that.
Yeah, we've looked at Hadley, but what we could also bring you is, you know, two different phase twos. I guess for me, we've always been going off the portables is priority one. And I just want to make sure that I'm getting the same message.
How has that changed?
I don't think it has.
Yeah.
So I just will bring you those.
I do not want to walk out of here and have people say that the board wants to keep portables now. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
I don't think anybody is.
Okay. Well, I am. Except I'm saying that...
John's saying if curricular programs drove the need for a portable, that we would look at existing portables and repurpose
okay
them, keep
absolutely
them, whatever.
Absolutely.
Okay. I hear that. Yeah. I understand that.
But I still get back to that. I mean, John's question, if we all agree that a middle school is not an option for this community, then every scenario you draw up, full-day kindergarten, part-time kindergarten, no kindergarten, still has you doing this Hadley thing over here. So to me, I mean, I don't know that we've determined that, but if we haven't, we should explore it quickly and then let you know and figure out the Hadley scenario.
And with that, it would be a bond referendum to be able to do the Hadley piece. We'd have to determine.
You're predetermining the cost, but I don't know. If you
I would assume. I would assume.
I look at that building. It's pretty big. I don't know. I mean, utilizing space is, you know, in new ways.
I was thinking if you just go portable for brick and mortar. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not looking at that as your only solution.
Okay.
I'd like the trained eye to go in there, the experts, and say, no, you need to utilize this space better. You have 240,000 square feet under roof, whatever we have. And if you can figure it this way, right, that utilization study right here, you know, and I had it turned to heaven when we started, but don't get it.
You mean you're talking about going in and gutting and reconfiguring
it
type of thing?
I wanted to explore.
No, but that's the idea.
You may gut 20% of it.
Right, and then just reconfigure it in a way that you take more advantage.
You know, one idea is actually one of the PE teachers at Hadley who was on the master facility talked about is the small gym and being able to use that as classroom space and
then add a gym
and adding a field house or some type of scenario like that. Right. With and you know, I know we talked about this and that is that we know with some kind of intergovernmental participation with that, which may or may not be realistic. But you know,
I learned that they need less gym space.
And more field
space. And more field space, yeah. That's what I was told too.
All right. Especially in the Chicago weather.
You mentioned like there's a few other deficiencies at Hadley.
Yeah.
I don't know what's on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Does that include fine arts? Does that include the nursing area?
It includes many of those pieces that were mentioned. We can send you the exhaustive list where the staff and principal and all those put that together, but so you can see each and every one of those areas for you.
I agree. We should just get a list so we understand what's in it.
What the staff is.
Their priorities.
It's a list.
They're
bullets.
They're incorporated in your phase two
in no particular
plan.
We'll help empathize them for you.
So what do we need before we can make the next step?
So what I heard is exactly what John had said. Engaging parents on full-day kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
Engaging Jack and Ron in conversations around Hadley. What would that look like? Are there different ways to look at Hadley outside of just the 10 and the utilization of Hadley? We do have that. I apologize. It's not here. I'll email that to you.
Mm-hmm.
How we're using that because Steve went through and did a comprehensive study on that.
So I'll just repeat what I heard. For phase two, seems like there's a leaning towards it would not be a middle school. We are asking as a part of phase two that you address Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
You have a phase two plan, and you will send that out with the list of deficiencies in it. And we are also asking to take a different approach. I call it the square footage footprint approach, to look at it and see if there's something we could do to not just take one portable, put a
fashion,
another portable in another fashion.
To your second point, John, it's Hadley and Churchill, right?
If you're going with your top priority, then yes.
Well, wouldn't it be Lincoln, too, then? I don't understand
that. And the numbers that all have been presented, Lincoln's
because of the drop in the student enrollment.
Yeah, but you got full day in there in your phase two.
But that's okay. All right. That's a whole different. We will bring you that. We'll bring you the other piece.
Patrick, the only thing I'd say, a reason it doesn't.
You're right. If it's full day,
because
you got to do something.
Full day still on mail. So
I'm sorry. What, Joe?
When Patrick wanted to add the Churchill to the Hadley discussion.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't. That's an either or because we're still trying to understand full or getting feedback, not understanding, getting feedback on the kindergarten piece.
Yeah.
I know 4.0 goals are still there, but you don't want to until you have the until you know the answer of your K-5.
Yeah, it's hard to answer.
It's hard. Yeah. To me, if you end up doing something.
All right.
Okay.
I think we've got that piece.
Only 7 minutes.
Oh, how the time
flew. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
Do you have any questions of us, Paul?
No.
Would you like to thank us for our input?
I would love to thank you for your input.
Thank you.
It's always good. It's always good.
Started out slow, but we got going.
Yo, man.
All right, then.
Can you get through fist to five?
May I have a motion to adjourn the special meeting? May I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.